Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer movies with queer women inclusively defined.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Party!
Queer people and gender nonconforming people and not cis men. Usually. Well, this movie has a cis man.
It does.
The movie it's that one of the... go ahead.
I was about to say, it's one of the few ones that I think... we have a cis male as a lead.
Yeah.
So, one of the leads. Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell us more about it. What did we watch?
We watched this month Dating Amber, which is a movie on HBO Max. And it takes place in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, right? Is it the 90s? Yeah.
Yep, 95 specifically.
95, okay. And it centers around two high school students, a boy and a girl, and both of them are queer. Well, they call themselves gay. And they basically become each other's beards. Mm-hmm. Because for some reason, everyone around them in their high school is utterly obsessed with sex and never talks about anything else.
Yeah, that was something funny. That I was like, clearly... they're like putting the camp on, you know, and it's like overly sexualized, but like really that's like the only thing anyone ever talks about.
Yeah. And like very homophobic and very like bully oriented. Mm-hmm. People are like pressuring each other into sex and stuff like that. And it's pretty gross. But in order assumption that like they're gay, which they are, but like they don't want anyone to know that, they start to date each other in a fake way and then maybe in a real way and then maybe in a fake way.
Yeah. I liked how many twists and turns and like the kind of will they won't they kind mm-hmm. of, or like I knew it was gonna be they won't, but it's like going through this, you know, going through both Amber and Eddie's like journey into mm-hmm. self-acceptance, especially for Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie struggles really hardcore. Wow. This was when I did some research, so this was set in 1995, which was only 2 years after homosexuality was 2 years after homosexuality was decriminalized in Ireland.
Okay.
So it was only decriminalized in 93. So wow. Now it's, this takes place in 95. Mm-hmm.
And there's the whole Catholic ethos.
For sure. I laugh as an Irish Catholic or someone who grew up Catholic. You see like a lot of the baggage mm-hmm. that comes with being Catholic.
Even though there's no explicit religion really that's happening, like they don't go to church or anything like that, but just like the culture.
Yeah, Ireland as a culture is extremely Catholic.
Yeah. I'm really sorry if you can hear children screaming in the background. Those are my neighbors.
It is summer and they'd be wiling.
Well, and it's true. Anyway, keep going. Catholic in Ireland.
Yeah, and it like amongst lots of different pieces, not just homosexuality, but like mm-hmm. being a woman.
Yeah.
And like there was this one scene where Amber's mom is like, "Oh, I'm so happy you like put in effort," or something like that, or like your dad would be so proud of you. Yeah. And they're talking about, like, right before they're talking about sex, like teens and teen pregnancy, basically. And then the mom right after says, your father would be so proud of you, which I'm like, is supposed to be in direct correlation? Probably. Yeah.
Well, so Amber and her mom run like a, is it like a trailer park?
I think so. Yeah, caravan.
caravan. They rent these trailers out, basically. And I guess there's one that Amber is just like able to use always to like rent to her friends who want to have sex, like all her classmates. And she like charges for it, and then she saves up all this money. And like the mom doesn't know, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, sees them leaving sometimes. And I think that was what prompted that conversation that you were just referencing about how she was saying, oh, it's teen pregnancy waiting to happen or whatever. But Amber's father died by suicide. Mm-hmm. And that's a plot point, is like her grief from that. You don't see that happen. It's just like it has happened before, and they talk about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's, go ahead.
I was gonna say, well, within the same breath of her mom saying that she's so proud to, or her dad would be so proud of her, she's also like, why don't you put on some lipstick and put some effort? And then Amber's like, do you want me, like I can't do anything right, basically. She says, make up your mind, because it's like this, you know, you're supposed to be like sexually attractive to boys, but not necessarily be attracted to them, just like a little bit. It has to be like just enough. Yeah. It's like a Goldilocks amount.
Exactly. You have to be attractive to them, but not too attractive. And you have to be attracted and not too attracted.
Exactly. You can't want like to have sex, but you might want to hold hands and do very Catholic things together.
I have to say, one of my favorite parts of this movie was the sex ed video that they watched.
Hell yeah. It was amazing. Especially with the nun.
I know, the nun was like, they were saying, oh, when you're married, then the nun was like, now God will make the vagina slippery for the penis.
Yes.
And then like it pans away from this couple in like their wedding clothes to the nun's face. And then it pans back to them, and like the woman's hair is all messed up and she's pregnant, like 8 months pregnant.
Like immediately. And I loved that the whole time the nun was sitting in between them.
She was just observing. And, and they also said, remember, you have an audience.
It's like, yeah, the nun.
Yeah.
She's into some kinky stuff.
Oh, I just found that so funny.
Yeah. But sex is such a prominent theme, or sexual desire, teen sex is such a prominent theme in this film.
It reminds me of Sex Education in that way, the show Sex Education on Netflix.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. I feel like this was a little bit, oddly enough, more heavy-handed.
Oh, yes, definitely. I feel like Sex Education does a better job of like walking that line a little bit of like humor and satire. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit lighter hearted.
Yeah.
This one was pretty emotionally fraught.
Yeah, there was
humor in it.
Yeah. There were times where it was so funny, and other times where I was like, is someone gonna die by suicide?
Yeah.
Like I was really nervous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the pressure that Eddie's friends put on him is
his insane. Friends are all total assholes. His quote-unquote friends.
But I learned a new vocabulary word from them, which is shift, which means to make out, apparently.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And basically he's like
dialect.
And like the way they go about it is like a friend will ask, like a friend of a guy will ask a girl if they want to shift, and they go and shift.
The gay wall, as Amber calls it.
Oh my gosh, yes. She is hilarious.
Yeah, I really liked her character a lot.
Me too. And she's pretty bullied. Like the first, well, not the first time, but the second time we see her, you know, she's already getting bullied by her classmates. But she doesn't, I mean, she does care about it, you find out, but she has a thick skin.
Yeah, and she hurls the insults back too.
Yeah. She has the thick skin and a smart mouth.
Yeah.
Which is an excellent combination. Yeah, there was so much I liked about this film, even though it made me very nervous at times.
Yeah. The thing I think I liked the most about it was like how, because even though it was pretty gender essentialist in terms of like their sexualities and what specifically what genitalia they were attracted to, which
yeah,
to me, like being queer is not about what genitalia you want to have sex with. It's like way more expensive than that. But like at the same time, it sort of complicated the idea of like romantic relationships and gender, mm-hmm. because they, or just like relationships that maybe aren't romantic, but are like really close, because Eddie and Amber got really close and they really liked each other. And I kind of liked that because they were both still queer.
Yeah.
And it did get to the point where Eddie, I think, was like leaning so much on Amber as like a cover for his sexuality. Like, I think it was complicated because he really liked her a lot. And also she was like the perfect ruse for
him
in the closet.
I wasn't sure if he was actually like ever romantically attracted to her. I think he was obsessed with the idea of things don't need to change. I can stay this way forever and no one needs to know except for me and her.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was so terrified to admit to himself that he was gay.
Yeah.
Which
is also hard to watch.
Yeah, it was really difficult. I think I definitely agree with you on the, you know, there's no like gender variance and there's a limited view of what it means to be part of the LGBTQ community. But at the same time, also very 90s. Like, I felt like, or at least like a teen perspective in the 90s, I felt like that was, like, they did a good job with that. For it being a period piece, essentially. But yeah, I think should they, you know, if there were something similar today, I would hope that it would be different.
Yeah. It is interesting because I think you're right. Like, Eddie got really obsessed with the idea of the safety of like having Amber as his beard and then like still being able to go have sex with men or whatever. But I did get the impression that they were really into each other in a lot of ways that maybe weren't sexual. They were like maybe bordering on romantic, but regardless of whether they were romantic, they were really close.
Absolutely.
They liked each other a lot and they like did all these fun things together and they supported each other in a lot of ways, I think. And I liked that about it, how it was sort of like, okay, it's not just like your girlfriend and boyfriend and like that means this one specific thing. It's like, okay, there's all these different, there's like a relationship that's happening here, which is cool.
Yeah, I felt like they were truly like partners.
Mm-hmm.
They really worked as a team together. And you see that it's very clear when I feel like a lot of Amber's female classmates or women classmates are like, oh, I bet Eddie doesn't do that. And like talking bad about their own boyfriends.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, because they actually genuinely like each other and they're not just like there to bang.
Which it seemed like every other pairing in the high school was like just there to bang. Just
so that. Much banging.
Yeah.
It's just like, I never. Yeah, so let's get into the characters a little bit. So Amber, of course, this is all about her and dating Amber.
Yeah. No, really, it's Eddie who's the main character.
Sorry?
Eddie's really the main character, but we care about Amber more.
Yeah, it's almost evenly split.
It is.
But Amber, so it's her idea to fake date, because she just like says to him, like, aren't you getting sick of being called a faggot? Mm-hmm. Which I would be. And then she's also like, she's a riot girl. She loves you know, the punk scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the only one in her school that doesn't have a quote unquote natural hair color.
Oh yeah. She's still blue and pink and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she dresses, you know, more alternative, and she's, you know, very much into London and city life,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really sweet, given what she does in the end. So
I actually didn't like that, what happened at the end.
Okay.
Well, spoiler alert, she gave him all her money.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Oh, you earned that. You got it. Don't give it to a boy.
Yeah. And it was like over $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just as a quick aside, sort of sum up the whole film real quick. Eddie wants to join the military because his dad is in the military, and there's this whole idea, I think maybe he doesn't explicitly say it, but it's like the military will make him a man and make him straight.
I don't think he wants to. I think he feels like he has to in order to get his dad's approval. And yeah. Part of that is like being more masculine.
Mm-hmm. And on the day where he's supposed to leave for basic training, essentially, Amber meets up with him and she's like, you absolutely need to leave. Like, you're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And Eddie has been like flip-flopping this whole time. And yeah, she gives him the money and Eddie leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, I was a little mad too, because I was like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then also it does show you how much she loved him.
Yeah.
And at that time, it also shows you how safe she felt in her own life.
That's true. She did have an easier time. She did come out to her mom. She had a really cute storyline with a girl named Sarah.
So cute.
And like brought her home to her mom. And so she did have a lot more safety in her life. At least it's not that Eddie necessarily wouldn't have, like Eddie's mom figured it out and was like, you can tell me anything. Cause she found all these drawings of like penises and stuff that he made, which were really funny looking, just like there was military men just like holding penises.
Yeah. Instead of guns. It was instead hilarious.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there, but yeah. Yeah, the mom basically said without really saying, like, I'm going to love you no matter what. She did say that, but she didn't say, like, I know you're queer, you know?
Yeah, I think she wanted him to have that experience.
Yeah.
Of
and so if he had come out, I think he still would have had a level of safety at home. It probably would have upset his dad, but there's a whole thing with his dad where, like, his dad's not stereotypically military like you normally see in movies, like
mm-hmm.
he is in some ways, but he shows a lot of vulnerability and talks about his own like basically grief over how unavailable emotionally his dad was, and he cries about it. And so I think there's layers to the dad, and I think that if Eddie had come out to his parents, it might have been rocky, but I don't think it would have been unsafe.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thinking about that more now that you've said that, yeah, now I am a little bit more peeved. I'm like, you didn't really need that money.
Yeah.
She just seemed to hold his hand and go back home and tell
his parents
that he didn't want to go into the military and that he's gay.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. As usual.
His perceived safety was that there wasn't any. But in reality, I think there was for him.
Yeah. Coming at it.
So afraid.
Yeah. Coming at it from like an adult perspective where you can see the safety, you know, that it would be okay. But I think that teen perspective of like, everything is over. Mm-hmm. My life is over, you know?
Yeah.
Very dramatic. Not in a bad way, just
no, but very like black and white thinking.
Exactly. And very like egocentric.
Totally.
So, which is totally normal. We all go through that.
Yeah.
I thought Eddie's father and mother, they have a strained relationship, but it's mostly because he's gone. Like, he's gone half the year or more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, they have like a lot of like parenting issues, I feel like.
Yeah. And then Eddie also has a brother who I believe is younger than him.
I think so too.
It was pretty funny. He like has some comic relief moments, but he also is very tender towards Eddie, and like they are there for each other, like when their parents are fighting and stuff. And I should say, like, when they're fighting, it never gets physical, which I think is important for like just knowing the parent characters, because
they
just argue, you know, which is also hard, but it's not an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like they're completely valid things to fight about, but they do get loud.
Yeah.
But I feel like the movie does a good job of like bringing it back to Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say the director does that. Bringing it back to Eddie, and especially his brother, like their relationship together. At one point, the parents are fighting and they're like talking about, I think, the new divorce referendum or something in Ireland. Because divorce also was illegal, and like it's one of those comic relief moments, but it's also very tender, as you were saying. One of my other favorite parts was the clubs in Dublin. I thought that was so fun. Even though there was some drama in one of them, but the scene that I loved in particular is when they're walking down an alley essentially, and they see a rainbow flag, and like it looks like Mecca to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so transfixed, and it reminded me of, you know, the first few times I went into a gay bar and feeling like this utter magic. And not because like of, I don't know, the like bar itself, but just being around so many gay people.
Yeah.
It was like transformative, truly. And it was
two spaces that are like really just for queer people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of gay bars, some of them have like a lot of straight clientele.
Yeah.
But it depends.
Yeah. I mean, they have to keep the doors open, right? So they're going to take whatever money they can. But the part that I thought was so sweet and that really spoke to me was when Eddie, he almost like ditches Amber because he sees a drag performer on the stage, a drag queen specifically, and is just like transfixed, just in awe of them, and kind of like
he's like hypnotized.
Yeah. And the drag queen acts very maternal.
Yeah.
To him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also liked how, because Eddie just goes up to this drag queen who is performing, like lip syncing, and he just hugs them, and they just hug him back. And then you can like hear the whisper, because they're lip syncing. And so like you can hear the whisper in that moment in the scene, because they're so close together.
Yeah.
Because they're like whispering the words and not seeing them. I really liked that. It kind of reminded me of like Portrait of a Lady on Fire, because in that, like all these quiet sounds were also really meaningful and atmospheric, because there was like no music except for like those two times when there was music.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They're, like the fire crackling and stuff like that. Like, yeah, and the floors under their shoes and stuff.
Yeah, sound makes a huge difference in how we perceive things and how we feel. about a scene and how vulnerable it is, because if you don't hear anything, or like you still hear the music, but then you have this like other layer that you couldn't hear when Eddie was like 10 feet away.
Right. It makes you feel like you're in that. Yeah. Like you're really close, because they're close together. You feel like you're also close.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And then at that club is where Amber meets Sarah.
Yeah.
And they have a really awkward beginning, I feel like. There was a lot of flip-flopping between both Amber and Eddie throughout the movie of like accepting themselves and putting up a front to the rest of the world. So even though Amber's in this gay bar and she's clearly getting hit on, or at least, you know, someone is interested in speaking with her, she's like immediately defensive and says like, I'm not gay. I'm here with my boyfriend.
Yeah. That's like her first response.
And
then, like pretty soon after that, she kind of lets that wall down. It's like, that's her gut reaction. But then like within 5 minutes, she's like already sort of flirting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me think of like trauma response.
Yeah.
And just like saying it out of habit and making sure that like you're safe.
Yeah.
But obviously it wasn't like, you know, I feel like when we hear the phrase trauma response, people think of like knocking stuff over or like breaking windows or like whatever, like some PTSD stuff, but it can be as simple as just like, oh no, that's not me.
Yeah.
And it was just really well done.
Mm-hmm. I felt
like but yeah, they are so sweet together, Amber and Sarah.
They have this adorable like little montage where they're on the beach at sunset. They're like walking through the grass and they're in the water, like their feet. Oh, it's so cute.
I know.
Yeah. So I was like, I love this. I would just watch this over and over.
Yeah, it was very sweet and poetic. And during that time, or shortly after, that's when Eddie tells Amber that he loves her.
Yeah.
And he starts getting into all this stuff, like just to sort of impress her or like get to know her better, like get on her good side. Like he reads Simone de Beauvoir.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, that's when I started to feel so bad for Eddie. Because he's just so desperate. And Amber now is more like confident in herself. She's like, no, we need to like end things because I want to have a real relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like coaches him, like, this should be enough for you. You can tell people that we had sex or whatever. And then you broke up with me, you know, things like that to kind of save him.
But he doesn't want to let go.
Yeah, he doesn't want to let go. At all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a conflict between Amber and Eddie in the second half of the film, which is a bit heartbreaking, but it's also really nice to see Amber feel so confident in herself and her place. Because that's when she does come out to her mom and inadvertently the whole school.
Yeah. And then that's fraught for Eddie because then people are like, oh, you made her a lesbian or whatever. It's like, oh my God, can you just shut up? Can any of these classmates just shut up?
Does anyone have the capability? And she almost like coaches Eddie. I feel like after that, they still... or I should say she still tries to be friends with him, even though at this point he's like almost like berating her like, please, we need to get back together. And it's kind of sad and pathetic and desperate, and
it is very desperate. There's a lot of desperation around it.
Yeah. And not in the like I don't know. I feel like people use desperate in that way of like, I don't know, something like shameful, but I just think of it as sad. Like he is truly desperate to like find some safety.
Yeah, I completely agree. Perceived safety.
Yeah. But there's, you know, there's a lot more that goes on in this film, that I feel like we could really talk about it for a really long time, especially Eddie's perspective. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I do want to keep it a little bit on Amber.
Yeah.
So did you have any other thoughts about her character?
I mostly just kept thinking the whole time, like, wow, she's so cute. I just really love her.
She is so adorable. And yeah, I feel like the actors really worked well off of each other.
Yeah.
Another part we haven't talked much about, and you mentioned it a little bit, is her grief. Mm-hmm. There is so much grief. And I think the turning point in why she does what she does in the end is because she visits her father's place of death, and she, where she usually goes out and like lays flowers, mm-hmm. and I think she's terrified that Eddie is going to do the same.
Yeah,
he's going to die by suicide.
Yeah,
that's
a really good point. I don't know why I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. I think that's exactly what it was.
Well, I feel like if you blink, you miss it, because she's just like in the forest. She sees the flowers and then she's like, gotta go.
Yeah.
So maybe like her reasoning is, even if I give him like a hand to hold and a shoulder to cry on and I go with him to his parents, what if they do reject him?
Mm-hmm.
And then he does do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I'll give him money so he can go to Dublin or wherever,
mm-hmm.
and start over.
Yeah.
Or start in general, because he just got out of high school. Poor thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me think about like the caretaker role and how gendered that is too.
Ooh, like, yeah.
I think it is like, in a lot of ways, that's like a really caring, big-hearted thing for a friend to do for another friend. On the other hand, like, that's sort of taking on the responsibility of like keeping your friend alive by like giving him everything that you've worked for, and then like, I don't know, like having like their potential safety or like well-being be because of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you bring up an excellent point. Yeah, essentially, no one ever says that it's Amber's responsibility to take care of Eddie.
No, she's just sort of taking that on. At least that's how it seems to me.
Exactly, yeah.
Like her life savings.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, why does it fall on her?
Yeah.
And I feel like Eddie is strong enough, but obviously he doesn't see it that way. So I keep remembering, like, this is from a teenager's perspective. Right. Like, it's a teenager's story.
Have access to, which probably would not have access to, but is like a mental health professional to like help him work through it.
It's true. Especially, yeah, I think I have to keep reminding myself that it's 1995,
yeah,
and 2 years after, you know, his whole, or part of his identity, I should say, has been decriminalized.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of internalized homophobia that he can't just, you know, undo in the 2 hours that I watched the movie.
Right. Yeah. It's like maybe unrealistic to think that someone in his situation would have any kind of access, mm-hmm. let alone easy access to like a mental health professional who could.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it falls on Amber.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot to unpack in this movie in general. I feel like I could write so much on it. I feel like there's...
Yeah, you could write a whole essay. You could write a dissertation.
Wow. I feel like that just has like so many themes to unpack that.
Totally.
Yeah. And I feel like it was really well done.
Also, it wasn't too long. It was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's a good length.
It was.
Two and a half hour movie bullshit. That I just feel like all the movies are so long now. Like, why are they so long?
Oh my God. No, it's so funny that you said that because like, I just got back from vacation and, my kids are with their dad. So I have a bit of free time, but I still like looked at the movie and I was like, please don't be 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours. And then it was, I was like, oh, I can watch this in like one sitting.
Yeah.
I am also like slightly ADD or ADHD and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
Just like focus.
Also extremely low. I'm like, I can do 27 minutes and then I'm done.
That's your book title, movie title. 27 minutes and I'm done.
Interpret as you will.
So this was directed and written by David Frayne. And this was his semi-autobiographical story.
Oh, see, did not know that because I didn't do the research this month.
It's okay. This is one of those things that I was just like, that explains a lot. I mean, it also just... Not in a bad way. It's just also like you put yourself in the perspective of a teenager again, right? And how you felt in that moment. And even though everything is fine now, it didn't feel so fine then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read a couple of articles. So I wanted to share a bit of that information. So David, the director, he was afraid of some of the parallels in his own life and potentially offending others. Like his father is in the military and he didn't like fake date someone. Okay. But basically he said all the bad stuff really did happen. Like the drawings that his mom found.
Wow.
That was real. So like he just drew a bunch of penises. That's hilarious. And his mom found them. And one particular scene that hit close to home for him is a scene where his mom is in his room right before he's about to leave for that basic training. And she says that he could tell her anything and she would still love him. Mm-hmm. So that was also real.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, that's so heartwarming.
Good job, moms.
Yeah. he also talked about the drag scene as, or I should say the scene with the drag queen as kind of like magical realism, which I was like, oh yeah, that does make sense. I did feel that way.
Yeah, it did feel, yeah, a little bit outside of reality.
Mm-hmm. Another article I got off of moviehole.net, which is a hilarious
good name. Great.
He says, I was one of those kids who had to leave Ireland to ease my pain, to find the strength to become who I was. But there were those other people who found the strength to be who they were, where they were. I still don't understand how they found that courage. And so that was Amber for me, that person who is able to do that in that time in history. I wanted to go through both their journeys and how they helped each other come to those difficult conclusions. So I think really it was a love letter to those two types of kids, those who were able to stay and those who left. Mm. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
And then there was also an article on the Queer Review an interview on the Queer Review with Lola Pettigrew, who plays Amber. Mm. And she was talking about how she came out as bisexual in high school or even middle school, and it wasn't even like a big deal or anything. She had just always been out to her family, her friends, like dated girls in school and whatnot. But when she got to college, things started shifting and she started becoming more of a performative heterosexual.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something out of, I guess, like peer pressure and being out of that comfort zone made her go in a different path.
Yeah.
So she said that playing this role got her to like come out a second time. Mm-hmm. So she felt like so grateful to this film because she was able to come out again and be herself.
Cute.
I know, right? And like, I don't know if the other actor, the actor who plays Eddie, Fiona O'Shea, I don't know if he is gay or queer, but Lola is, which I thought was, it was just really sweet to read that. And she does have a lesbian sister and they were able to reconnect on and like, you know, bond over her newfound rebirth into the gay world. Yeah.
Aww, that's
so that's very sweet. And that's, you know, a story that's not really told. I feel like people like stay out and that's it. Like they come out and they stay out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely is not that linear.
Exactly. But I could see, you know, if, you know, Gen Z especially kind of, you know, saying one thing in their teen years and then realizing their sexuality is more fluid and yeah, going from there.
Yeah. I think people, like a lot of Gen Z kids, are not really concerned with labeling their genders or sexualities in the same way we are.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, it is refreshing.
They're like, why would I?
Yeah.
Why would I limit myself?
Yeah.
To anything, which is such a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear.
Yeah.
Even my daughter, we were playing, I don't know if you've ever played this, the game of life.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The board game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she saw it in Target and was like, I want that for my birthday. I was like, done. well, her aunt got it for her, but we were playing. And you can put like a peg in there when you get married.
Yeah.
And at first she was like, do I have to get married? And I was like, no, you don't have to get married. She was like, I just want to marry my pet. Because now you can put pets in there. But sometimes she'll put another person peg in there. And we were playing with her aunt and a different aunt. And her aunt said, oh, are you going to have a husband or a wife? And she said, I'll pick a husband for now, but I don't know if I'm gay yet.
Oh my God, cute.
It was just so cute. And I like totally ruined it because I started laughing but, like silently. I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. And she was like, why are you laughing at me? And I'm just like, you're so cute. Which is like, the exact opposite of what a tween wants to hear. Yeah. So she was like, ugh. But I have hope.
Yeah.
For the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Would you watch this film again?
If I was gonna watch movies again, like I never really rewatch things. So maybe.
Would you recommend this to someone?
Yes, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah.
Would you watch it again?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if I wanted to write something on it, because there's just so much to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like comparing and contrasting and seeing how far we've come
mm-hmm.
from that time. And also, you know, what is still around, what can change. I think it made me think, even that, like, this was set in the past, but it made me think a lot about, you know, future teens
mm-hmm.
and how they will navigate the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Even though Amazon made it. and
oh really? Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
At the beginning, it was like Amazon Studios or something, I think. Oh,
fudge.
No, but
maybe.
Dirty hands are in everything, so.
We like can try.
Here, I have used Amazon and sometimes still use it, but yes. I try.
It is hard when something is so convenient to stop, yeah. But.
And also a lot of times, like I will look on Amazon for a product and then like go to the company's website and they don't even sell it on the website. Like you have to buy.
They're like, go to Amazon to purchase.
Yeah. It's like, damn it.
I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they're taking over the world. But maybe Jeff Bezos can just stay in space.
I mean, preferably. Or.
Although he'll just be controlling the world from space then.
Exactly. Something will happen on impact. Coming into the world. Oh my yeah. God. Speaking of space. Mm-hmm. This is total aside. On my road trip, I went down the coast of Oregon and California. There is a Space Force base in California.
Where?
I always get this wrong. Lompoc, California.
Oh, okay. I think it's Lompoc.
It's spelled that way, but I think it's Poke.
Okay.
My brother lives there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. My brother. Yeah, my sister-in-law and their kiddos. Cool. But I was like shocked because truly, like, of course I knew it exists, mm-hmm. but like seeing it was just crazy. Because it also looks like Star Trek.
Yeah. I remember my sister and I one time, we're really getting off track now, but we went on the I think we were in LA at the time, and like there's a space museum there. I think it was LA. And we went into this giant hangar where there was a spaceship. And it was really wild. I was like, whoa, that's a spaceship. It's been in space.
It is. And it has.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, it's not totally off topic because this also takes place in a military town.
Good point.
There we go. Wrapped it all up.
Brought it full circle. Even though it's not America, but whatever. Takes place in Ireland.
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 Alrighty, so if you have any thoughts, if you saw this movie and really liked it, or if you hated it, which I can't imagine people would, but they might, please let us know. You can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at the same place.
Mm-hmm. Consistent branding.
Alrighty, everyone. Thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, share with your friendos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as always, keep it gay.